All right, folks, let's jump right in. We've been talking about faith, specifically this beautiful passage in Romans in chapter 1 that says that the righteous shall live by faith. We've been trying to paint a picture as to what that looks like in a lot of different areas in life. And the bottom line is simply that there's no area in life that should be off limits to God, off limits to our faith. That every area of life should be, that our faith should have an effect on that area in life. There's no places or areas that we should put up a sign that tells God that he is not welcome here. That's what it means for the righteous to live by faith. Last week, we talked about the past. We were looking backwards. Today, I would kind of like to look forwards and talk about eternity. How often do you think about eternity and eternal life? You know, if we're really honest, we kind of don't like to think about those kinds of things or talk about that kind of thing, because in order for eternity to be realized, we have to die, right? So we kind of stay away from that kind of talk in that area because we really don't want to think about that. And, you know, the reasons are good. I mean, we love life. We enjoy life. We love our family. We love our friends. We don't want to leave them. But as a believer, as a Christian, we need to think about and talk about eternity. Because talking about faith, our faith determines our eternity. And if our faith is a genuine faith, if it's a real faith, if it's the kind of faith that God wants us to have, that faith should enable us to look at eternity and to think about eternity and to talk about eternity and even look forward to eternity. But sometimes I think it's because we don't have an adequate faith or the kind of faith that God wants us to have or the kind of faith that makes a difference in every area of life. Therefore, we don't want to talk about it. You know, in other words, how often do you think about the hereafter? Here's the thing. I think a lot of people think about the here. Right? I mean, I don't want to think about or talk about or contemplate the hereafter, but we like talking about here. I like here because we're talking about life. I believe in the here, right? The here and now is what I can see. I know that the here and now is real. I mean, I understand that when the final second is ticked off from church today that I'm going to have a nice meal somewhere. You know, where are you going, right? I mean, I understand the here. I love the here. I love my life. Our daughter, Kristen, where is she? She's here visiting with her wonderful husband, Nathan, Mr. Smarty Pants. Remember me talking about Smarty Pants? You probably didn't know that, did you? I was talking about Smarty Pants a few weeks ago. Here he is. Okay. You know, it was awesome to visit with them. I love the here. You know, how often do you talk about or think about the here? Well, how about the after? See, that's a whole different thing. A lot of people believe in the here and now, things they can see, things they can touch, things they can experience. You know, science tells us that the things that they can replicate in the test tube or in the laboratory, that those things are real. You know, that I can look in the heavens and I know they're real because I can look through a telescope or whatever. It's there. But when you talk about the after, a lot of people have a hard time because I don't know about the after. I'm not so sure that it's even there. It was interesting. Colson and Mary Ellen Jones, you know them, love them. They came up to me after first service. And they said, you know, John, they had gone to their class reunion recently, and they had ran into a girl that they'd gone to school with, you know, a long, long time ago, and that this person said that she was an atheist. And they said they were so taken back by it. They said, you know, how long have you been an atheist? And said, well, when I was a kid, when we would sing Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. She said she would always sing, he is weak, and I am strong. And she said, even as a child, she didn't believe in the after, but she believed in the here. But let me tell you something, folks. Believing in the here is not enough. Because the after is going to be a whole lot longer, a whole lot more in the after than there is in the here. So how about the hereafter? Maybe you're like the older lady that said, you know what, the older I get, the more I think about the hereafter. So I get up out of my chair and I go into the kitchen and I think to myself, what am I hereafter? I mean, the older we get, maybe that is when we start thinking about the hereafter, because we're closer to that. But as believers today, folks, as seekers of God, I want us to think today about eternity. Not just about the here and now, but after the after. And think about what my faith and how my faith should answer the questions I have about eternity. Because you know what I believe? I don't think that this is just a struggle that non-believers have. Because really, the people that are real non-believers, they don't struggle with this because they don't believe it. But I've met some folks, I've met some people of faith, even maybe us, all of us, maybe at some point or another, we struggle with what that looks like and what that's going to be like and how the reality of eternity should affect my life in Christ now. Look at this passage of Scripture. I love this. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Did you know that Ecclesiastes was written by a depressed preacher? You know, who questioned God and questioned our place in this world and how we can get along in life and understand God and understand our toil and understand our days that are here. And in this wonderful little book in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, this is what it says. It says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. It has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. That verse speaks to our questions about eternity. Look at this first phrase. It says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has made everything beautiful in its time. You see, in this passage of Scripture, God has put some quotation marks. He's put some boundaries around our understanding of time and space, or time and place. And it says that everything about life, everything from beginning to end, that it is beautiful. Now, here's the thing. Is it? I don't know about you, but I experience things all the time that I wouldn't classify or describe as being beautiful. You know, things that happen to me, things that you witness in this crazy world of ours. You know, some horrific crime, something that goes, you know, whatever. I mean, we all have these things that come. Are they beautiful? But I think what God is trying to tell us here is that because we have faith in God, that we can understand every moment in the passage of time, even into eternity, as something that is beautiful. You see, our faith is what helps us see the beauty in life. And you know what, folks? If you can't pick out the things in this world that are beautiful, that are holy, that are right, that are encouraging, then maybe you should ask yourself some questions about your faith. If you think about that passage that we just talked about in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, if you put it into context there, in Ecclesiastes 3 in verse number 1, he's talking about time and different times that come our way. Look at what it says, verse 1. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. He says a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain, he says, verse 9, from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. You see, when you only believe in the here and not in the hereafter, When the world convinces us or our culture tells us that this is all we have, then it's difficult to see the beauty and to gain the beauty and to bring the beauty out of the ashes. But when you have faith, when you celebrate birth, it is a marvelous time. But when you experience death, it's okay. You know why? Because it's not the end. That's not the period at the end of the sentence. It's only a comma until we continue on in this eternal existence somewhere. But our faith answers where that somewhere will be. So our faith is what helps us see the beauty in life. That's what he teaches there. He also says something that's really interesting. He says he's also set eternity in the human heart. I mean, think about that. He's made everything beautiful in its time. Whether it's a time for joy or a time of weeping, it can still be beautiful because we look at things through the eternity of God's power and his existence. But it also says he has also set eternity in the human heart. God has put inside each of us the knowledge that the here is not all we have. It was interesting. Have you ever talked to somebody that was not a believer? You ever talk to somebody that would just, you know, they didn't believe in God, they didn't believe in eternity, they didn't believe in heaven or hell, they just believed in the here and now. And you know what? When I find myself in those conversations, and it's been I've had those conversations a few times, I always find myself just trying to appeal to that part of them that the Bible seems to indicate that everybody has. That deep down in our heart of hearts, in our soul, in our spirit, that we can realize that this is not all there is. And I think that's what he's saying here, that he's also set eternity in the human heart. In other words, your heart and my heart has this place in it where we know deep down that this is not all there is. And I think that we need to appeal to that. I think that we need to appeal to that place that people have in their heart where they wonder, where they question, where they speculate that maybe there is something to this thing about faith in God. You see, because I think everybody questions, everybody doubts. But I think also everybody has that place inside of them where God has placed this something that tells them that this is not all there is. You see, folks, our faith is what helps us see that yes, life here is short, but eternity is forever. So with God's help, we need to make sure that we allow him to teach us that to every day that we have can be a beautiful, beautiful day. We need to know that he's placed this thing inside of us that we know that God is real and eternity is sure. But look at one other thing he says here. He says, yet no one can fathom what God has done. You see, here's the point. If you start trying to understand and explain eternity from our point of view, it seems impossible. But when you start with an all-powerful God, all things are possible. That's what the Bible says. Matter of fact, if you look at this passage of Scripture, he says no one can fathom. I don't know about you, but I can understand that. How in our own minds, in our own hearts, in our own existence, how it's hard to understand the mind and the existence of God and what he has done. But you know what? When you go to the Bible and it says that in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. In other words, God has no beginning or had no beginning and he has no end. In the beginning, God. God has always been. If there was something that created God or made God or caused God to come into existence, then that thing, whatever it is, would be more powerful than God. God has always been. And when you understand and accept by faith that we serve a God that's always been, then it's easy to think that he can be a God that will always be. He had no beginning, and he has no end. You know, I asked a fellow one time, older gentleman, I said, have you lived here your whole life? He said something very interesting to me. I said, have you lived here your whole life? And he said, well, not yet. I thought, okay. And you know, and I thought, that was a pretty good response. You know, it was almost like, have you lived here your whole life? Well, I'm not gone yet. But then you think about it, you follow that up, and you say, you know what? Have I lived here my whole life? I'm really never going to die. I mean, if I believe in God, if I believe in eternity, if I believe in the hereafter, when this life is over, it is not a period, it is a comma, and I go on into eternity in this wonderful existence to be absent of the bodies, to be present with the Lord. I haven't lived here my whole life yet. And just understanding that from our perspective, yeah, it's hard to fathom that. But yet it says what God has done. In other words, he's already done this. So here's the thing, folks. What we have to do is that we have to live by faith. That every day that God gives us, we must live by faith. That's what this passage teaches us. That he's made everything beautiful in its time. He set eternity in the human heart. No one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. You see, folks, faith is what we need. Faith gives us the answers that we need to have to understand eternity, to know what's there, to know what comes when this life is over. But you see, folks, we've turned faith into something else. I mean, faith makes things possible, not easy. And sometimes I think because life isn't easy, our faith suffers because of it. Corrie ten Boom said that faith is the thing that we need in order to see through the fog of life. Think about that. That faith is like radar that helps us see through the fog of life. But you know what? If we are affected by the things of life that bring a fog around our existence and we don't respond in faith, then we don't see and we can't see and we wonder and we question. But if we have faith, we can see through all of that. C.S. Lewis said, faith is the art of holding on to things your reason has once accepted in spite of your changing mood. You ever notice how so many times our faith is affected by our mood? By our mood that our faith is effective. It should not be. Our faith should not be affected by those things of life. You know what I believe? I believe with all my heart that faith can move mountains. You know, that's exactly in the Bible. It's a quote from the Bible that we can have faith that can move mountains. But a lot of times what God does is he hands us a shovel. And sometimes we think, okay, I have faith. If I have faith, my faith can move mountains. But a lot of times God wants us to come alongside him and work with him. And to do his work and to do his bidding and have faith in him that will cause us to work on his behalf. And in some ways we've lost that in life. You know, faith is this knowledge, it's this understanding within our heart that goes beyond reason or even knowledge. And beyond the reach of proof, that I don't need proof because I have faith, that everything about eternity is based on faith. But you see, faith isn't real faith until it's all we're holding on to. So I encourage all of us today to know that this kind of faith should have an effect on how we live for God. And that everything in life, everything that happens to us, every time under heaven can be a beautiful thing because we know that God is there, whatever is going on in life. Thomas Aquinas said, to one who has faith, no explanation is necessary. But to one without faith, no explanation is possible. Have you ever had someone ask you, you really believe in heaven? You really believe in heaven? You really believe in that perfect place with streets of gold and a mansion on the hill and a river of life and no pain, no sickness, no disease, only perfection? You really believe in that place? You believe in that place that has no sun because this Jesus is there? You really believe in a place like that? You can answer yes. Or you can show them by how you live, how you are faithful, that you believe it to be true. And there's no greater way to do that than to walk by faith and not by sight. It's a great passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 1, in verse number 8, it says this: First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because. Isn't that awesome? Paul takes a moment and just says to all these people, you know what? When I think of you, I thank God for you. And let me tell you why I thank God for you. Here's the why. He says, because your faith is being reported all over the world. And I don't know about you, but I think that's the kind of faith that we need to have. The faith that answers all of life's tough questions and gives us an assurance that this is not all there is, but that we will live for all of eternity. And you know what, folks? As believers, you know what eternity is? Eternity is the sum of all of our todays lived by faith. All of our todays added together make up eternity. And I think sometimes people wonder about eternity because they're not living by faith today. So I'm just telling you, if you want to have no worries about eternity, embrace God with faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, confesses their sins to him, and accepts him as Lord and Savior, that they have that wonderful place in him for all of eternity. But you know what, folks? We can wonder about eternity and miss today and tomorrow. Or we can live by faith today, we can live by faith tomorrow, and when that moment comes when we have to step into eternity, we can be ready. But what we need is the kind of faith that someone would brag about to other people around the world. Do you have that kind of faith? You can, right now, in this moment. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, I thank you and praise you for this wonderful time that we have to come and to share together. God, as you look down into this auditorium this morning, I pray that you see faith, that you see faithful people, that you see faithful families, that you see faithful leaders, that you see people that maybe are struggling with their faith, but who have an understanding and a realization that they need to have and to put their faith totally and completely in you. And God, I pray right now in the quietness of this moment that people can do that. Lord, all they need to do is to turn to you, to relinquish the control of their lives to you. To by faith, Lord, invite you to come into their life. And I pray, Lord, that all of us here at First Church would help with that, would encourage that, would model that and mirror that to every person that comes here. So God, as we're thinking about eternity, Lord, may we be faithful today. And as we're faithful today and as we're faithful tomorrow, may we be prepared for eternity. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen.